until I get older, and will then be nurtured and birthed before I die, if I can ever be said to actually die. I am taught my own memories and ideas, and these are absorbed into the blank state of my being. I am the perfection of science and humanity. Everything else is lesser, and I bestride it like a colossus, leaving everything to wither and die in my shadow. You're probably wondering how someone such as myself managed to create such a structure as this, without being part of the military-industrial complex on either side of the divide. The answer is simple. You become that which finances the military-industrial complex. I'm sure I don't have to tell you, what you refer to as Jack has always been the oil on the wheels of human activity. It was the same in the days before the New Cost. Even more so. I first became aware of the totality concept when I was a banker in my homeland, Switzerland. In the days before nukes, my land has always maintained neutrality, based around our banking industry. Money was the richest commodity in every way, and it bought peace, as well as prosperity. Those who controlled the Jack controlled the world. But nukes made things different. Even with bunkers to hide in, there would be little to come out to. Certainly not a society that we could serve any purpose within. So, when the political situation of the world worsened in the latter half of the 20th century, I knew I would have to search for a solution to my problem. It was then that the cabal of generals first came to me. They were from the U.S. military, and they were seeking a way to hide and increase the funds they'd taken from their military budget. There were scientific and weapons projects that were being developed away from the eye of the U.S. Congress, which would either have stopped them or made their existence more open. This wouldn't suit the cabal, who took the usual military view that a civilian government was more of an imposition than a necessity. Democracy was a concept for which they had little, if any, use. Something I agreed with. You must always watch your own back, on the assumption that nobody else will be bothered. My own banking activities skirted around this kind of activity, what was known as the black sector, because it stayed in darkness. I had a certain reputation as a man who could hide vast sums of money, and could also increase them with speculation and the courting of outside investors, who would not necessarily be aware of the full facts relating to their investment. I confess that this aspect used to amuse me at times. But amusement was something that soon took a back seat to more pressing matters. The scope of the totality concept and the projects that were gathered under that umbrella were breathtaking in their imagination and diversity. Here was something that would ensure the winning of any conflict that may take place, and the mastery of the world. To be frank, I have never been sure if any one member of the cabal or myself was ever truly aware of everything that was contained under the umbrella of the concept. Such was the double-dealing and secrecy involved. It became apparent to me that a conflict from which there would be no escape short of a total war was approaching. Call it a combination of the egos and paranoia of the men involved, and the will to prove themselves the better of their fellow men, or call it just the desire to play with toys and prove that they work, and that all the expense and work were justified. Whatever it may have been, it was an inevitability.
Tashin was obsessed with his ideas and his organization. Of that there was little doubt. The companions watched him carefully, with rapt attention. Any scrap of information may be of use, although they all were starting to wish that he'd get to something that had relevance.
So tell me, O great and mighty one, how, pray tell, did you progress from being a mere money broker into such a major player that you can command this? And, if it is not too much trouble, to what end is all this frippery anyway?
Tashin fixed the old man with a stare. It was clear that he didn't relish being interrupted, but the question in itself only acted as a prompt to the next part of his tale.
You must, perforce, be Dr. Theophilus Tanner, I had read about you, but never thought that I would meet you. You always sounded a troublesome, obtuse man for someone who was seemingly so bright. A view that I find unexpectedly, and a little disappointingly, confirmed.
Doc gave a mocking bow.
I am so terribly sorry to have let you down. And indeed, to have interrupted you at such a crucial point in your narrative. Are you in fact about to unveil your entire plan before us?
Tashin indulged Doc, despite the Sectines bristling at the old man's tone.
Most amusing. But you are correct indeed in the assumption that I am about to explain the whys and wherefores to you. Partly, I fear, because that old dictum about leadership and responsibility being lonely is proving to be quite true. However, that would be to dwell on the side of self-pity, and that is truly not my wish.
Mildred closed her eyes and had to concentrate hard on staying conscious. The pain from her treatment at the hands of the guards and the continuing effects of the pox were really weakening her. And yet she suspected that, despite his words, self-pity was the entire motivation for Tashin's activities now, and that he was soon to reveal his secrets and perhaps give them the break they needed right now.
The interesting thing about being a banker in Switzerland was that money was not the only commodity in which one dealt. Secrets were a much more valued and valuable commodity, in fact. At my facility in Geneva, we had safe deposit boxes, the contents of which could easily have changed the course of history several times daily. Perhaps they did. Who can tell? The point I wish to make is that money powers secrets, and secrets generate money. The two are interdependent. As a banker, I was able to trade off this dependency and make for myself a power base from which to build not just my own survival, but a way of making sure that the next time around, a glorious society would arise from the ashes of old order and make a new order that would lead the world into a better epoch.
Pernicious claptrap! It has been the same throughout history. Those who wish to foist their own views upon an unsuspecting, unwilling world always seek to justify their own egotism.
A small-minded view, and little more than I would expect from one such as you. When you have access to the secrets of power, then you are privy to the small-mindedness of most people. And if you have a vision, then you realize naturally that you have been chosen by the fates to shape their very existence. I began to become interested in a Bavarian philosopher and schemer called Adam Weishaupt, who had founded a society known as the Illuminati. There were some who believed that this secret cabal had grown in power since its founding in the late 18th century, and that far from being outlawed and then disbanded, the successors to Weishaupt had used this as a cover from which to recruit all levels of world governments, forming an inner circle that actually ran the world. Well, all I can say is that were this true, they made an extremely bad mess of matters. No, my friends. The Illuminati had not existed for some time, and even when they had, their influence had been limited in the extreme. However, that did not mean that the ideas had been bad, merely that no one had previously acquired access to the right sources to make them work. Of course, now that I was in such a position, I would be a spineless fool to ignore my destiny. Such secrets as I did not have within my immediate grasp could be obtained by a mixture of blackmail and bribery, feeding the fear and greed that fuels the desires for power. I used money from my bank and from the banks of fellow adventurers and bankers that I recruited to my cause. Naturally, I had every intention of dumping these fools by the wayside as I continued, but at this point, they did not have to know that. I wished to keep them all in the dark, and in this, I think I succeeded.
So why did you end up here and not back in Europe?
Where else? The main players were the USSR and US. There was little chance of cooperation with the communists, who already had their own version of the game in progress. Besides, the vast majority of my contacts were within the black areas of the U.S. military-industrial complex, so it made much more sense to pursue this option. So, I relocated my home, and also my business base, to the U.S., leaving my office in Switzerland as nothing more than a shelter from which to avoid investigation by the American authorities. Although, given that those investigating would be those under my thumb, the only thing I truly had to avoid was the publicity that such a matter could entail. I had many of the intelligence agencies and military projects bought off, and the only reason I cannot be sure of the truth...